Hello, my name is Nayamka, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for my podcast, Rebranded Christianity. And the title of the teaching for this podcast is The Pope Let the Cat Out of the Bag. And so I'm going to say that again, The Pope Let the Cat Out of the Bag. So before I get into the content of the teaching for this podcast, I do want to plug some of the things that I'm working on so that you could check them out when you get the opportunity. The first thing is that I have a web-based television program. It's entitled 50 Faith Motivate. And that program is available on YouTube and Vimeo. So on YouTube, you can find me under my username, Nyamka Ward, no spaces. And then on Vimeo, it's under vimeo.com/Nyamka Ward. So 50 Faith Motivate, and that's the number 50, followed by the words Faith Motivate, no spaces. It's a program that is about just taking faith PowerPoints and plugging them home to you in a very quick, time frame, no more than 1 to 3 minutes of your time. But the purpose is just to simply quickly but powerfully encourage you in your faith for daily living. So when you get the opportunity, I would love for you to check those out. Now, I also do have a blog that I've been maintaining for the past 3 years. It's called A Christian Girl in Her Carnal World: Contemplative Stories of Faith Intertwined with Life in Urban America. So the blog is a series of autobiographical short stories where I'm speaking about my experiences growing up in Chicago and now living in New York, my life experiences in the midst of these environments. And basically, what inspired me to do the blog was that I just noticed that in the Christian world, in the landscape of Christian literature and speaking and teaching, there is a demographic of people that I really don't believe are targeted as much as other demographics, and I don't really believe they're targeted pretty much at all. And that is Christian people that are living in cosmopolitan, big city USA, northern USA, in these liberal, free, open, fun, vibrant environments that are also unfortunately very secular, pretty much like anti-religious, not really big on faith. And how does that look being a devout Christian living in a world like that? And that's what the blog is about. So I would love for you to check that out when you get the opportunity. The website address is nyamka.wordpress.com. Now, you're listening to the podcast Rebranded Christianity. And if you have not done so already, I would love for you to subscribe to it. If you think that these episodes are going to be a blessing, that they could help someone, I would love for you to forward them to your family and friends. And then also, if there, I have, you know, I've building up, I won't say I have this huge catalog, but I'm building up a good amount of prior episodes that if you haven't listened to them, I would love for you to go back and check out some past episodes that I've done. Now, also, I would love for you to connect with me, interact with me. So if you have any questions about the podcast, about the blog, any questions about your faith and your spirituality in relations to your daily living, or anything that you've heard or you've read that has made you question or caused questions about your faith and your spiritual beliefs, I would love for you to email me those questions or comments. You can email me at nward@nyamkaward.com. You can send me, you can contact me as well on the contact page on my website. That's nyamkaward.com. And then also, you can interact with me on Twitter. My Twitter username is @nyamkaward. In prior podcasts, I really put together, teachings that are, I usually use a lot of scripture. But this podcast is really not a teaching at all. It's a commentary. And I do have like one scripture in here, but it's a commentary that I'm hoping sort of strikes a chord in you. I hope that it in some ways it inspires you to pray, inspires you to some type of action. But this is really definitely more of a commentary than it is a teaching. And so basically, back in September of last year, America Magazine, which is a Catholic publication, published an interview with Pope Francis. And in that interview, Pope Francis talked about the church, having an obsession with abortion, gay marriage, and contraception. Now, Pope Francis was speaking about the Roman Catholic Church, but really what he's speaking about in his statement can be applied to the church at large. And when I say the church, I'm speaking of the body of Christ and the different platforms that come forth to the mainstream society from the body of Christ, from the church. And so Pope Francis' message was definitely applicable to the church, period, not just the Roman Catholic Church. And he is speaking about this obsessive fear that has existed in the church for a very long time when it comes to the matter of sex, because that is really the general theme of Pope Francis's statement. It's dealing with things relating to sex and sexuality. And what he said really struck a chord in me, because growing up in the church, I was made to feel very uncomfortable about sex, about sexuality, and about any little expression of sex or sexuality. You just felt very uncomfortable. And I, even as, you know, as far back as I can remember, my attraction to the human male and wanted to sort of express that attraction and getting their attention or flirting with them, if I was in a Christian setting or in a Christian environment, I just felt very uncomfortable. It felt like, you know, there's something wrong with this. And I just remember even growing up and getting into adulthood, and just because of that message and that type of environment growing up, when I would be around Christian men as a grown woman, I still had that feeling of uncomfortableness. Like it was just, we need to act like robots. We need to act like asexual beings as long as we are in these Christian settings and these Christian environments. I was made to feel uncomfortable about my body because it was like my body is a sex object to a man. So, you know, cover it up, dress modest, you know. It was constantly this really strong sense of uncomfortableness when it came to sex and sexuality. And it was something that was, it just lingered from childhood through adulthood, any time that I was in a Christian environment. And when I studied the history of modern world history or modern times of the church, the relationship between the church and sex, you really do see this thing where sex is this dirty thing, that it only becomes good. It instantly becomes good or magically becomes good after you get married. But prior to marriage, it's really this thing you should not be talking about. You should not show any type of essence that you're even desiring to have sex until you get married. And even after you get married, it's like keep your sexual expression, the speaking about it, to your marriage chambers, which I think is a funny word, but I had to use that because I've heard that so many times in Christian environments. And so that was, you know, in times, that's been sort of, to me, that's how I would really define the church's relationship with sex up until recently. Right now, I would say that we are living, first and foremost, we're living in the post-sexual revolution era. And pretty much the sexual revolution itself was, I think it was caused by the extreme ungodly sexual oppression that the church created. But right now, I believe that we're living, the church is in this space of operating somewhere between fear and acceptance. And there is a fear, and I think it's there's a very real cause for this fear, but nevertheless, fear in and of itself, acting out of fear, never produces good results. But there is a fear that biblical sexual morality will be absolutely rejected by society. And to guard against that rejection, to build up a remnant of people, you would say, to not yield to that, the church has gotten to this state that the Pope spoke about, this obsession with condemning anything that opposes biblical sexual morality. And that brings me to a question that I have, and that is, do you believe that by always pointing someone to what is wrong, it will cause that person to do what is right? And that's what I believe that, you know, is really going on right now in the church, in the Christian community, is constantly making people aware of what is wrong when it comes to sex and sexuality. And is that really helping anybody? Is that really drawing anyone closer to the heart of God, as far as, you know, God's will for sex? And my answer to that question is no. And I want to just pull a scripture here. It's found in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 20. And it says, "The law came to make sin worse. But when sin grew worse, God's grace increased." And the thing in the word in this verse where it says the law came to make sin worse, the law being, you know, telling someone, you know, this is what you should do, and constantly, you know, keeping it before somebody, this is what you should do, as in the sense of how you're thinking, what you're doing is wrong, this is what you should do, and constantly making a person aware of, you know, that what they're doing is wrong, or, you know, this is wrong, it makes the problem worse. That's what the verse is saying. But really, the remedy for the human heart wanting to go in a direction that is opposite from God's perfect will is God's grace. You know, that's really the truth. And I believe that the biggest dilemma that has occurred in the church in response to the sexual revolution, and overall in response to the awareness of how strong sexual temptation really is not responding with the message of grace. And I believe that that's changing right now. I hear so many ministers, you know, speaking the message of grace, and that's consistent with the Bible, because there are some, you know, messages or speeches about the grace of God that's they're really not biblical. But the message of grace is that God's grace is sufficient for you no matter what's going wrong or what's going right in your life. That God's grace is that force and that power and that ability to do the right thing, and not so much trying to cause someone to do the right thing by telling them what is wrong, but telling them that God's grace is available to help them and empower them in their strengths and in their weaknesses. And I believe that as that message goes forth and it continues to go forth, that a lot of people are going to, you know, just be drawn closer to the heart of God regarding His perfect will for sex and their sexuality. So if you're like, you know, if you're like me and so many millions of other people, that you're living with a real awareness of your sexuality and you embrace God's plan for sex, how do you steer clear of the fear of sexual sin that exists in the church, and also steer clear of yielding to the message of fornication that is so loudly promoted in our world? It's very simple. Keeping those truths in your heart. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and it will set you free." Repressing the truth that God created us as sexual beings will only lead to problems, but also rejecting God's will regarding sex will also lead to problems, problems that are psychological, emotional, and physical. So it's just this perfect merger of two things, that we are sexual beings. God created us like this, and all the feelings and emotions that come with that. But then having the truth of God's perfect will regarding sex in your heart is really that perfect medium, and really that safe place, or the perfect place to be in the midst of all the extremes that are in our world. So with that, that closes out this podcast, or this edition, or this episode of Rebranded Christianity. Once again, my name is Nyamka. I want to thank you for joining me. I hope that you have a really great day, and please join me for the next podcast.